So what kind of matzah should I buy? Alright, so I figured we'd cover five topics in terms of matzah. One of them we sort of covered before in Shul before, a couple of years, my first Pesach here, the Arizona matzah. So I just figured we'd wind up with that, you know, get it on tape.
And Arizona meaning the state of Arizona.
The state of Arizona, yes. What's special? Why the best matzahs come from Arizona? So one time we gave a whole shiur on that topic. We'll just explain a little bit of it at the end. So what is shmura matzah? That's the first question. We talk about shmura matzah. Is it regular matzah, right? Does that mean the regular matzah is only kind of kosher l'Pesach? What does that mean? So the pasuk tells us shmartem es ha-matzahs. Pasuk in Chumash ki be'et. You should wash the matzahs. Ki be'etzem ha-yom hazeh hu-tzeisi et-tzivu seichem. The Eretz Yisrael shmartem es ha-yom hazeh l'doru seichem chukasu. That you're going to do a shmir of this day. So the same word ushmartim es ha-matzahs is also used at the end of the pasuk. Ushmartim es ha-yom hazeh. Right, that you're going to watch this day. There's some kind. It sounds like there's some kind of active thing they're doing with this day, both with regards to the day of Pesach as well as with regards to the matzahs himself. So the first, so the Shulchan Aruch says that, well, this might be what it has to do with ein lashin matzos mitzvah. One is not permitted to do lush. One is not permitted to knead matzahs mitzvah, v'lo ofen osa, and one shouldn't bake them, ayideh eino Yehudi. You shouldn't have a non-Jew do those parts of the job. V'lo ayideh cheres shotev akatan. Nor should it be done by way of a cheres shotev akatan. I mean, so what is implied by that? This doesn't seem to have anything to do with whether it's chametz or not, right? If we're talking about that a katan shouldn't do it, right, what does that sound like? It sounds like there's some kind of lishma thing involved. It sounds like there's some kind of idea that there has to be a proper way of kavana. It has to be done by the proper person. It has to be done by the right person. It can't just be done by anybody. Right? It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like there's anything to do with right. It doesn't say that we have to that you can't have a chayr shot of a cut and take care of your potato kugel. Right? That's not what it says. Right? It only has something to do with matzah. It sounds like there's some higher level of understanding for that. And by the way, he includes one more term in there. He includes the term matzas mitzvah. Right? The matzah that you're going to explicitly, the matzah that you're only going to be using for the mitzvah. So that being the case, it seems to be something that's specific with regard to the matzah's mitzvah. So the Shulchan, the source number three, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Achitim she'osim behem matzos mitzvah, tov l'shamrosh lo yifu alei mai mishas ketzira, ulefachos mishas techina. So then there is an additional requirement when it comes to the shemar matzah, right? That the wheat that you make a matzos mitzvah, it's best to wash them shelo yiflu alei mai, that water shouldn't fall on them from the time of cutting, or at least from the time of techina. I believe most of our matzahs, even the Aviv matzahs, or the Ben Yehuda matzahs, or the Streitz matzahs, the Manischewitz matzahs, I believe most of them fulfill that. Even the non-shmur matzah, most of them will fulfill this din. He says, "V'shasachach, one is permitted to even buy flour from Gennari's." Right? That's what it seems like. So
yes,
we don't.
That would be shmura.
And well, no. So this one is talking about. I don't think that would be for shmura matzah. I mean, that's b'shasat chak. You wouldn't be shmura matzah. You would use this, but you would still be baking it yourself, right? So there's two things that have to do with shmura matzah. One is that the wheat itself is going to be mishamer. The wheat itself is going to be shmura. On the other hand, there's the idea that it has to have some kind of lishma. So it sounds like a shasad chak, so you can buy it from the shuk. You won't have that aspect of shmir, but at least you'll be making it yourself. Again, this seems to be for the mitzvah, right? The Shulchan Aruch includes the term for the mitzvah. Right? This doesn't apply anymore. Bisman has said you can't go to Gennari's and buy flour for Pesach, as it says explicitly in our shul's guide, right? Because even though it seems to be going, that seems to say in Shulchan Aruch that you could, right? Obviously, the flour you buy, not so obviously, but somewhat obviously, the flour you buy goes through several levels of treatment that would probably make it chametz, or at least give it a certain suffix chametz. So it is not recommended to you to go to Gennari's and buy flour and make very quick cake out of it, right? That you can't do, right? You certainly don't have that in our homes. Okay. So that being the case, so what is this matzah mitzvah? So the Mishnah Berurah comments in Source 4, Ratzalomar, HaMitzvah She'ochel B'shtei HaLeilos HaRishonos, the matzahs that you eat the first two nights, the Kayim Bahen Matzos Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, the Mitzvahs Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, Heim Tzrichin Shmiri Yaseir, they require an extra level of Shmira, It's not enough that there's just no reyesa, there's no hint, that there's no concern that there's a little bit of chametz in there. They need an extra level of shimur l'shem matzos mitzvah, for the purposes of matzos mitzvah. Again, implying a positive shmira, something positive, that like a mitzvah's aseh, there has to be something activity with it. Ushmartem es hamatzos. Meaning that you should be trying to watch it for the purposes of the mitzvah. Okay, so that is what shmura matzah is. Okay, so that's for hundreds of years, thousands of years, right? That's all one needed to know. However,
what does that mean practically speaking? Someone standing and doesn't sleep at night and watches this.
Right. So how do you actually how does that shmura take place?
If it's in a locked room, it should be okay. Only one person has the key.
I don't know. I think that would be the case. Meaning for regular masa, you can get flour and assume you can look at it, right? Usually, when water hits flour, right, it looks different than when water didn't hit flour, at least until the last couple of decades, right? So I think that's it. Kept for sure, right? You don't have somebody sitting and watching the flour all day, right? That would drive them. Then I would understand why a box of matzah costs $20 a pound, right? it's watched, it's made sure, you know, it's sealed, and nothing else is getting in.
The roof doesn't leak.
Right.
So, were you going to address the issue of how you can have machine shmura, or is that
so? What then is machine shmura? So again, as you pointed out, that's the next step. The machine matzahs fulfill this requirement of being actively watched. So the first question, in order to analyze that, is well, when it says above, right, it shouldn't be done by a cheir shoto v'katan. So there is a concept brought up in the Gemara of, well, a cheir shoto v'katan shouldn't do it, but what if you have a Jew watching them? What if you have a Jew on top of them? Right, so does that make it any better? So that's there's several areas of halacha where this is required, like tzitzis, it's constantly compared to. A get has to be lishma. Right, there's a couple of things in halacha that have to be lishma. And the Gemara seems to sometimes allow this kind of activity and sometimes not allow this kind of activity. Right, and it's left to the Rishon to figure out which ones are allowed, which ones aren't allowed. When does it work to have a non-Jew overseeing it? So if you take a look, the Rush in Psachim, quotes a machlokas specifically about matzah. Quotes a machlokas gionim about this, about matzah. Quotes from the She'iltos. The She'iltos are of Achaygon. Kasavu nafakina shidecho vasa el b'matzah demintar le'michimutz min denafla maya iluya ve'chadam tainu l'chita nafriche reshot v'katan lo nafak yidecho vasa. Right, you only get matzah's mitzvah if it's washed and made sure that not a drop of water falls on. And if it was done by a non-Jew or a chay reshot v'katan, meaning an ein bardas, lo nafak yidecho vasa. You haven't been yotze your mitzvah. Right, so that Rav Achai, meaning the She'ilta, seems to say that it's not allowed. However, if you get to the bottom, the where I underlined Rav Haigon Zal Kasav Matzah She'afa Nachmi Lifnei Yisrael Yidei Shimur Ketikuna Mutter LeYisrael Lo Ochelas. He said Rav Haigon writes that no, if a Jew is overseeing it, as long as there's a Jewish foreman, right? So that should be okay. That should be enough in order to can be considered matzos mitzvah. And then the Rush adds, uvali ma'isa v'chasidim v'hatamimim machmirin al atzmim. I mean, the really from people are machmir on themselves, k'gaonim ha-machmir, like the gaonim that are stringent. V'lashim v'ofim ba'atzmim, do it themselves. K'hidamrina ma'darchu shal ani hu ma'asik v'ishto ofim. Right, that they themselves are involved with it, the derech oni, etc. So what? How's the Rush paskening? Right, is the Rush paskening that is paskening like Rav Achai? Is he paskening like Rav Haigon? Is paskening the Kula or Lechumra? So it seems like he's really paskening. Right, there's always a question when he says in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah uses the language of Yir Shemayim Hichmir Al Atzman. Right, so I was going to point out before Rav Amital, which is good, just to point out, really, you're a Yirei Shemayim? You qualify? I'm not sure I qualify as a Yirei Shemayim. I'm not sure I have to accept the stringency upon myself. Right, who has to accept that and who doesn't? So the Rosh says that some people should be, in fact, there is a minhag there. Some do have the practice of people baking their own matzos the night of Pesach. Right? We get home, right? And we got to take care of the roaming lives, get the table together, get ourselves together. So there are those, the Ish Chassidim, that head down to the basin. In fact, from what I understand, some shuls in Brooklyn, whatever, there are matzah bakeries downstairs right after the davening is over. Go downstairs and make matzahs for that night.
Not this year.
Not this year, right? This year we don't do that. And they talk about if it's the second when Pesach falls out on Motzei Shabbos, I imagine that, right? Wild. Anyways, that could be what the Rosh is talking about. But anyways, there's a machlokas we've shown him here whether one can rely on overseeing it. Right? So how do we paskin within that? So the Mishnah Brewer here paskins by the underlying part of his gimme harbi poskim dafil yisrael omed al gavav umasirim sheyichavenu l'shem matzos mitzvah gamkin lo mahani ve'ino yotzei yichavasa afil b'diavet. There are many that say that even having a Jew overseeing it isn't enough. Ve'yesh mina poskim shemakilim that if omed al gavav umasirim sheyichavano v'asiyasu l'shem matzah doesn't mean a dice of the Yisrael covenant. There are some poskim that are more makel on it. They say that no, if a Jew is overseeing it, they should be okay. So
but it says that you're standing over them and you're warning them that they should have intent,
right.
Mitzvah.
Right.
So obviously they're Jews.
No.
You're talking the non-Jew, they have an intent for
yeah, that they have intent. They know that it's being used for a matzah. Not that they're having
matzah.
Intent. It's that you're imposing your intent upon them. I mean, if you're in charge, so it's as if you're like... They're like an extra hand. They're your long yad arich. It's like you're imposing your kavanas within them.
Yes, but it says you're warning them that they should have intent.
Right. You're there, by the fact that they're doing it, so it's as if you're reminding them. It's not that they might be an in bardas or not, you might not be not shayet, right? But because you're constantly putting in their head, the difference considered as if it's matzah mitzvah. That's the machlokas
wow.
We showed him. Mr. Bruno says many to be machmer, and he'll conclude. You know, better. He adds in, by the way, gamkan ksas we call makom mutav lasas adei fershot of akata mealidei ha'akum. That if you have a choice of violating child labor laws or minimum wage laws, better to violate the child labor laws. Better to have the fershot of akata be doing it rather than the non-Jew. He adds in, by the way, even those that say that you can stand on top of them, it's not enough that you just announce in the beginning, by the way, you should have kavana, but rather you have to constantly be reminding them that, you know, that this is for the mitzvah, it isn't for anything else. So, okay, Nishimura would say to be machmer on that, but we certainly see that there's a machlokas, right? So all of a sudden you can see a little bit now of a comparison between, right, the machines, and right, is a machine better or worse than a cherishot of a katal?
It doesn't have the ability to keep the mitzvah in mind, have kavana.
Aha. Okay. So it's one side.
It doesn't get distracted either.
Ah, there you go. Okay. So how a machine compares to a cheirushot of a katan, right? You have these two sides. On one hand, well, it doesn't have kavana, right? It's a machine. It doesn't. Right? That's what makes them so wonderful. They don't have any kavanas, right? On the other hand. Right? Maybe one can make the case that, well, what is the action of a machine? Right? Is the action of a machine the machine constantly putting out the matzah? Is the action of a machine pushing the button and starting the machine going? Right? So how does one relate to that? How does one understand that that concept? Right? So the Gemara in Chulin discusses machines. He discusses within the context of Shechita, which, by the way, is one of the scenarios where the Cheirushot of a Katan child comes up, right? If a child does Shechita, is it good or not? If you're overseeing it, does it make it better or is it worse? Is it a mitzvah to do Shechita in the first place, right? That's the Gemara in Chulin. So the Gemara comments, HaShochit B'muchni Shechitasa K'sheira, right? If it's done with a... like a wheel. If you have shechita being done by a wheel, the shechita is good. So the Gemara asks, "Atanya shechita so psula." On the other hand, we have another brisa. We have another claim that says that it's no good, right? If it's done by a machine. So the other answer is no. Lokashe habisarna de pachra, habisarna de maya. One is when a person was turning it. Another one is when it was being turned by the water. Or some claim habaha b'sarna d'maya, that both are really being turned by the water. V'lokasha habakoach rishon v'habakoach sheni. One is by the first strength of the water, and one is by the second strength of the water. What does it mean, koach rishon, koach sheni of the water? So when you turn a faucet of water on, or in the case of the Gemara might be describing, when you release a dam, right? So the first water that comes in contact with the wheel, right, that is what we call koach rishon. And that's much more closely related to the action of a person than the rest of the water that's going to come down and eventually get around to the wheel, right? That's much less related to the action of a person. So it says that it's done by a wheel, it's okay. So the Gemara seems to be concluding that the first effort that you put in, so that's okay. But the later efforts that go in, that's not so okay. Okay, so now how does that relate to a machine? Right, is a machine like the Koach Rishon, or is a machine like the Koach Sheni, after you've pushed the button? Right, so if you turn to the back of the page, so the source number 8 is from the Achiezer. The Achiezer is Rav Chaim Ozer Guzinski, the Rav in Vilna, where he writes the first couple of lines is, I was trying to figure out how these machines work. I sent the questions around to everybody, and I found this tshuva of the Chesedli Avraham, who really is the first person the first person to be matur these things. And he, at least with regards to tzitzis, he's discussing here, right? So the Achiezer quotes with regards to tzitzis, I guess about six lines down, where he says, "Al gabi mayim v'yehudim nostim tchila hatzemer lehistarik mehashin an linkos hatzemer va'acher kach nosim hatzemer lehashpin mashinim lehashvinim mashinan." Sounds like to the machines. The karchim sham hatzemer, and there, that's where they weave the tzemer. Va'achar kach molichim ha'egla ha'gal k'sas va'achar kach nigmar hatuya al yidei ha'galgalim ha'suyim al gabi mayim v'chol ha'pulos sh'osma ha'yudin nehim ha'omrim sh'osim l'shem matzos mitzvah. Right, where these things are constantly, where it's done by machines, but where there's Jews that, the Jews that are involved.
Matzos
mitzvah,
mitzvah
tzitzis, right? Where they're constantly doing it for the purposes of matzos mitzvah tzitzis. They have in mind they're doing that. Sha'ala sha'chesed avraham lahachshir zelobin and koach gavra rakshiyah hatu'uya lishma va'aruch bazeh. Right? Because by shchita, maybe the question might only be, by shchita you actually need to have a person being involved. But it could be that by tzitzis, there's not an obligation that a person actually be involved. The obligation is that it be done lishma. I mean, there's no mitzvah to make tzitzis. There's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis. And similarly, there's no mitzvah to make matzah. The mitzvah is to eat matzah. The mitzvah is to have matzah. And an obligation is that matzah be made lishma. That the matzah be made for the purposes of mitzvah of matzah. Now, does that mean that you actually have to make it for that, or that it has to be made that way? Right? If it has to only be made that way, says Rav Chaim Ozer, right? So then that's okay, because it was made that way. The action that was integral to coming out with the tzitzis, or by extension, the action that was integral to making the matzah, was done by a person, regardless of what level of koach one might be referring to. That's the answer Rav Chaim Ozer gives. He seems to be saying that it's okay. At least with regards to tzitzis.
Machine shmur would be okay.
It seems like that would be okay. The Chazon Ish as well seems to be okay. Chazon Ish as well seems to be saying that it's okay. For instance, he points out that when you write a get, so the writing of a get takes about an hour, right? So you don't make the person stand there for the hour. You go through the whole discussion with them. You make sure that they're lishma. You make them do an appointment, right? And then at least the gittin that I was involved with, I worked with Nutter Greenblatt, so he does this whole show to make sure that it's lishma. Very interesting for another time. And then he says, okay, like, got lost. I need to concentrate. He goes, writing again is a pretty complicated thing to do. So he sends the person out. So what's the lishma, right? If a person is doing the get on your behalf, so what are you doing? You're starting off with that, and then you're continuing on your own. So he says, so the Chazon Ish says that that's okay. That's certainly okay. That's how we do it.
Who's continuing on the own? The
shliach, the sofer.
Right, okay.
And he continues on and says, He says that that's. I'm not sure. I had
so
before
like
how it was
line
different.
At the end, it says a sofer matchilas nimsheches b'chol haksiva have a kula l'shem.
Right, right. It's like the das continues throughout the entire process. So that's why it's different. He's saying that when you started going, right? So it's as if that lishma could continue for the entire process, which really sounds a lot like a machine, right? Right. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you could flip the switch. Right, and that could continue theoretically. That could continue throughout the entire heart. It's a little bit different than Rav Chaim Ozer, right? Rav Chaim Ozer is saying that you don't really need full lishma for many of these things. The Chazon Ish is saying that no, you need full lishma, but that lishma is accomplished by turning it on in the beginning in the correct way. That seems to be what the Chazon Ish would be saying. Again, he's talking with regards to tzitzis. Right, it's very early on in Rav Chaim. You can see, right? Lefi ze hadinosein, three lines from the bottom. Hadinosein de gam tavis atzitzis kashra yedei nachri af she hatuyin nimsheches v'chein belosh l'shem matzis mitzvah. Includes it for matzis mitzvah as well. Shara avodo stama lishma, that the rest of the things that are done lishma. However, he concludes by saying v'achronim zat lo kasvuchein. However, he says, however, the Achronim don't seem to hold like me. I seem to be an outlier in this. Many other people don't hold that way. And source number 10 is quoting that people asked the Chazon Ish whether they should use machine matzahs, and he wasn't so excited about it.
So the Chazon Ish, was he around when we had machine?
Oh, for sure.
Yes,
he passed away in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
The machine matzah debate is a fascinating debate, not just for the halachic issues involved, but because of the sociological issues involved.
Right.
Did you read
the article by Jonathan Sarna?
Did you ever read
Yes, right. There's a famous, Sarna has an article. He has the article on
round,
on the marketing.
And round and square.
On the round and square.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a round and square issue. Right? And there's I think he has an article about how Manischewitz was the first.
But it was a machine. Sorry to interrupt. I mean, the issue was not this round versus square, but that was machine. And the machine, it's easier to make them square than.
Right. Yeah. But that all ties in. It's a change, and it's different. And the people that were against it, there were, besides perhaps the halachic reasons of it's no longer going to be lishma, which, as we saw, only matters for the first two nights of Pesach, right, but there were some concerns that it might be chametz. The real concern was is that you're making people lose their jobs. Right? That was the real concern, that the people who used to rely on matzahs for their income are now going to lose their jobs. So is that does that play into the halachic debate or not? So there were, you could just see, I mean, you want to judge, but you could see that they're looking for a reason to aser it. There's a big debate going on in the early, in mid 1800s when the Industrial Revolution was taking place, right? And the Eastern European Gedolim were very much against it, and the Western European Gedolim were very much for it. It's clearly that division, right? That Eastern Europe will say we're not changing anything, and you know we don't want to people lose their jobs, etc. And the Western, the Sholem Aishiv, the Aruch Haner, the Binyan Tzion, right? They're saying, what do you mean? They're in Germany. What do you mean? Great, this is perfect. We're going to have, and it's going to be better. It's going to be better by when done by machine. So that was a debate that continued into this century. So there's a different article in that thing, that there was actually a court case, maybe it wasn't that article as well, but you could read it separately, that there was a court case, Internal Revenue Service versus the IR versus Manischewitz. And what was, I think it went to the Supreme Court? I don't remember now. Maybe I just have the Supreme Court on my head this week. I don't remember if it went to the Supreme Court or not. But the issue is that Manischewitz supported a yeshiva with their profits. Why did they support a yeshiva? Right, so they wanted to claim that they were supporting. Oh no, I forgot how it went. The issue was they were supporting yeshiva. Why are they? They wanted to support a yeshiva because if they could lend their name, there would be the famous Manischewitz yeshiva. So everybody would assume that Manischewitz matzahs were okay. That's what they were trying to do. So the question was, I forget what the tax issue was, but the question was, is that a business expense? Right? Or is that like a separate non-profit entity? Are they doing it lishma, are they not doing it lishma? I forgot which way would be better for them, though.
But that's what the Sarna article says. Essentially bought off the Gedolim by giving money to the yeshivas.
Right.
And then they supported them. He courted them, basically.
Yeah. Yes, for better or for worse. So, anyways, we got matzah a lot cheaper today. because he did that.
I don't know if anybody remembers this, but at one point they made tea matzahs, which were round, but machine matzahs.
There's two reasons for square matzahs. There's two reasons for right. I've seen those. Yeah, but
like the size tea matzah.
No, they're bigger than that.
Yeah,
a little smaller.
So one of the claims was that if it's round, so you can have a better circular heating. But if it's square, so parts of it might be better, more cooked, baked than others. So you're gonna have part of it in the middle be chametz. There's two reasons for square matzahs. One is because it's easier for the machines. And the second reason is because it's easy. You could pack more onto a truck, right? You can fit them in, right? Okay, anyways.
It's called the void fraction. As you put circles next to each other.
Yeah, you have a lot of space.
And you have a wedge space that's not packable.
Right.
It's called the void fraction.
Void, okay.
I'm not sure they're still marketing them, but I know in Japan they were making cube watermelons. They grow them in a box.
They grow them in a box.
You can stack them.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't look
much. I'm not sure it ever caught on.
Can't waste too much.
Yeah, so that machlokas, which I didn't, the sociological part of the machlokas about whether chadash is asr min haTorah, right? How the idea of ingenuity and halacha and life, right? So that doesn't just apply here, it also applies to the Arizona matzah sugi at the bottom. We'll get to you shortly. Okay, so the question came up last week about egg matzahs.
But just to clarify, the business about machine shmura as opposed to the hand shmura, is there anything different about the machine shmura?
Well, this debate, I mean, the Chazon Ish didn't really give in. The Chazon Ish really didn't say, like, oh, sure, go ahead, use machine matzahs like your Seder. Right, he didn't really go that far. He said, like, it makes sense that you'd be able to, but like, it seems like no one else agrees with me. So, right, then you have Edus. This Divrei Yecheskel says the Chazon Ish didn't use square matzah. You know, the Chazon Ish didn't use machine matzahs at his seder, at his seder. So,
but I mean, just in reality, I mean, what is different about when you pay an extra couple of hours or whatever it is for a machine? Machine shmura. I mean, what is it?
Oh, it's shibor mishas ksira.
Okay, so that's what you're paying for.
Mishas ksira.
Okay.
You're paying for the extra for being watched an extra amount of time, right? Right. Which, yeah.
I heard the Rabbi Wyman once say that he argued minhag avoseinu biyadeinu. Means our customs of our fathers are in our hands, but literally we're in our hands, just our hands to make the matzah. Right. The argument.
Same play on words as Chadash Asr Min
haTorah. Yeah, the same. Probably.
Okay. The same mode of thought. The same people that are busy coming up with those puns are busy figuring out ways to. Okay. So what's the story with egg matzahs? So the Gemara does have a concept called Chametz Nuksha, which is that it's Chametz that the Chametz process was halted. I mean, it didn't actually become Chametz, but it's on its way to becoming Chametz. So what is that? So that's not allowed. Right? I mean, that's not allowed. Either derais, derban, it's not allowed. So what are one of the ways of doing that? So the Gemara claims that this is where things get confusing. If you need matzahs with fruit juice. Kneading matzahs with fruit juice will not cause it to become chametz. I mean, will never. It sounds like will never be cause it to become chametz. May peiris below mayim imach mitzin klal. That's how the Shulchan Aruch starts off. I don't think that's on the source sheet. Right, it's not. So it won't cause chametz. So wonderful, right? That sounds like a. All an exempt, like it's like tax exemption, right? It's a chametz exemption. So the problem is the next sif in Shulchan Aruch says may peretz imayim mimarim lahachmitz, right? But if there's a little bit of water in the may peretz, it's actually going to cause it to become chametz faster. Right? Now how this works in the chemistry, I don't know. But those are our declarations that the Gemara makes, and those are the ones that we have to live by, right? So if it's pure fruit juice, it won't become chametz ever. And if it's partial fruit juice, so then it's even going to be worse. Right? So how do we know how long it takes for something to become chametz? So the Gemara gives us a shear. The Gemara gives us an amount when it comes to wheat and water. right? That we have a shear for. That we have an amount for, right? Kedehiluch mil, 18 minutes, right? That's the concept, or minimum 18, really, minimum 18 minutes, right? So that we know. But what's the shear for this? What's the amount for this? With the may pay receive mime. How do we know what that's going to be? So therefore, the Mechaber says you can have it, but be careful, right? That's what that. May beitz mishar mashim kulam have b'chlal may peros, all included in may peros, and he seems to say that they would be edible. That's what the Sfardim do. However, it comes to the Ramah and says u'medinas elu einog in lalish b'may peros. And by us, we don't do that. We don't need with may peros. V'afil lakatuf hamatzos einog in rak la'achar fiyasim b'odu chamin. Right, and even if we're going to lakatof is to tof sounds good. Even if to right, even to sprinkle in a little bit of mayperos, even to sprinkle some, he said that also shouldn't be done. The ein l'shanos, and don't change the minug. Im lo b'shasad chak l'tzarech echola ozakin atzarech l'zeh. And don't change the minug unless it's some kind of shasad chak and a chola needs to eat it or an old person needs to eat it, right? You shouldn't have any egg matzah around in the house. So that's the psak in the Ramah, and that we keep, right? And that, you know, I think Baruch Hashem. Fruit juice, eggs, no, all that is included in mei peros, right? Anything that's not liquid, right, is included in
it's not water.
Is not water. In theory, there's no water tucked into it either. But the Ramah says, low plug. The Ramah says, doesn't matter, right? Anything that's not water, we're not going to use because the concern is there's water in it, and that's going to cause it to become chametz faster, and we don't know how long it takes to become chametz, so therefore anything that has, therefore all egg matzahs or fruit matzahs or grape juice matzahs or any of those kinds of things, right, shouldn't be used, are prohibited to eat on Pesach, with exception for somebody who's the frail or the sick or the infirm or somebody else that kind of needs it for whatever reason that is. Right? Now, why a person, so that has gotten around more. I mean, I remember when I was younger, every year, every Pesach, right? Used to have a child CD that I remember listening to every year, every Pesach. Every year, every Pesach, my grandfather comes, right? Anyway, so every Pesach, somebody would come to our house and they would bring, like, the chocolate-covered matzahs, egg matzahs, right? So that doesn't happen. It still happens, but it doesn't happen as much anymore because most of the marketers, most of the people that are in charge of making these stuff know that you're going to lose a very significant section of the market if it has egg matzahs in it. So that kind of has stopped. But there are people that still need it and it's necessary, and you know, the Ramah gives us heter, so that heter should be used. However, right, you're not able to see the mitzvah with them. Right? That came up last week. I got confused for a minute, then I realized, wait a second, it doesn't work. Because, first of all, it's a befeir shalach in Shulchan Aruch in 12. Ein lashon el b'mayim shalanu, that the water has to be lun, the water has to rest overnight. Right, bein shehem bein boros hamayanos bein shehem bein naros v'shovim osamim b'od yom. Right, you could draw it during the day, right, and you can't use it till the next day. That's a separate din. That's an interesting halacha that the water has to remain overnight because you want it to get to room temperature, plus if it's a different temperature, it might also become chametz faster. Fine. But what is the halacha? The halacha is that it has to be water and wheat. That's the way matzah is made. The ingredient to matzah is that. And as we pointed out, matzah by definition, right? People think that wheat is asur on Pesach. Wheat's not asur on Pesach. Matzah is made of wheat, right? Flour is not asur on Pesach. How do you think you make matzah? Right? You make it out of wheat. But the only way one could eat matzah is if it is ra'ui to become chametz. Right? And as we pointed out in the beginning, that the din of the Gemara is that if it's fruit juice, if it's pure fruit juice with flour, while Ashkenazim don't eat it, in theory it's not chametz at all. It can't become chametz. Right? So that, therefore, doesn't make it fit to be used for matzah. One advice, just to add on last week's shiur, for the ailment people with matzah, one piece of advice that's given out, the Mishnah allows you to soak the matzah. Right, so if it's somebody who really can't down the matzah, you could soak it in water and then eat it that way. That might be advisable. Yes.
Matzah mush,
right. Usually those people are eating mush anyway. So, okay. How much, really it should be how much, should be how long do we have to do this for? Meaning this idea, this distinction between matzos mitzvah and regular kosher l'pesach matzos, how long would they have to do it for? So Shulchan Aruch says, we said, for ein chiv achilas matzah, ella Balayla Rishon Bulvad. The only obligation to eat matzah is to eat matzah the first night. Us and Klitzlaris have to eat it the first two nights. Right? Really, after that, if you don't want to have matzah the rest of Yontif, you'd be okay. All right, for Yontif meals, you have to have Lechem Mishnah. Okay, you deal with it. But in theory, you don't have to have matzah anymore after that. Mishnah Berurah quotes B'Shem HaGra, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, Al Kopanim Mitzvah Ika Lechel Matzah Kol Shiva El She'enu Chiv. It may be true that there is no obligation to eat matzah the rest of Yontif, but there is a mitzvah. It's what he calls a mitzvah rishus, a new category of mitzvahs. What that means, right? The words don't even make sense. What do you mean? A commandment that's optional, right? It doesn't
so if that's
really
true,
make sense.
Why don't you do achilas matzah?
So why don't you make the bracha? That's not enough to require a bracha. I mean, why do you make a bracha?
My dad always insisted this. He always insisted to make a achilas matzah even during the week. You know,
Wow.
Then we sent this. Well, he's. You know, I didn't do it. I said
right.
Nah,
the
grow
would lose. The grow would lose all of his brisker standing if he would permit that.
Right. No, I see that he has support for his argument.
Right. Right.
So the reason why you shouldn't make them.
If you. Bracha. Well. First of all, we don't necessarily hold like the Vilna Gaon. Second of all, I doubt the Vilna Gaon himself even would make such a bracha. Because he would say, yeah, that's not Asher Kishanu Mitzvah Sav Vitzivanu, that we're commanded. We're not commanded. It's a mitzvah that we're not commanded on that we could do. That's not really a requirement. So it could be that I would bet the Vilna Gaon himself wouldn't make a bracha on it, but he assumes that it's a mitzvah. So if that's the case, I remember once listening to a shir on this topic where the rabbi kept saying, there's room to be makel, right? That's the term. So there's room to be machmir, right? If you can assume like this Vilna Gaon, there's room to be machmir and say that all the matzah you eat for the duration of Pesach should be matzah, shmura, handmade, right? There's such a backing for such a stringency. However, even saying the words, there's room to be machmir, don't really roll off the tongue very well. For obvious reason. Yes, Lisa.
Someone who's Sephardi told me that they don't make a bracha on matzah the rest of the year. They
don't make an amotzi.
Amotzi, yeah.
Right.
So what is that from this famous special mitzvah?
No, that's based on that pasav avichistin, what we call pasav avichistin, which is like pretzels, right? Or not really noodles, pretzels or rugelach or crackers. Or things like that. So we make a mezonos on it, right? What's pasav avichistin? Pasav avichistin is bread that's not bread. Right? It's bread that has there's a question in the Gemara what it is. So either it's hard bread or it's bread that has like fruit in the middle or something, like cake or whatever.
How does it change categories?
So what's the real halacha by pasav avichistin is? By that category of stuff is that if you're eating it as a meal, so then you would make hamotzi, and if you were eating it as a snack, you don't make hamotzi, right? That's the pizza shayla that I'm not really sure is really a shayla.
Right.
But if you're eating it as a meal, it is, and if it isn't, it isn't. So in theory, if you're eating pretzels as your meal, you in theory would have to wash a bench on it, right? Theory. Now, I don't recall ever in my life, even though I eat a lot of pretzels, right? I don't recall ever washing a benching on it, but technically that's the halacha. So what the Sfardim say is that for the rest of the year, matzah is a snack. Matzah is that category. Matzah is hard bread, which therefore you shouldn't have to wash on. Right? But on Pesach, by definition, it's something that you're eating as a meal.
Right.
So therefore you would wash on it. Not the easiest to stomach, especially. So I hear that for the Yontif meals. But like, so if I just want to jump in and grab a piece of matzah, right? Just eat a little bit. So I would have to wash on that also. So I don't know, you got to ask the Sfardim. I'm not sure whether you, I think they see you do, but that's I'm not sure why that should be. That's my Makasha. I don't know. I'm not Sfardi. Figure it out. Yes.
So is the obligation that they were commanded is just in the evening at the Seder?
That's
not,
right.
Not during the day.
Right.
Even on the first 2 days.
Right. So really, we also just because that's the way I grew up, right? To make sure you have whole handmade shmur matzahs to use for all the meals, right? To have for lacha mishnah, there's really no reason for that. Right? There's really no basis in halacha to do that unless this Vilna Gaon, you know, you want to make sure that you fulfill the mitzvah as much as one can. Very quickly, the idea of the Arizona matzahs, so the din is that as the Rashba here points out, is that there's a halacha called kol omid liksur katzer dami, that anything that's ready to be cut is as if it's cut. Wheat grows in the field, so what happens? It rains. Right, so what happens to that wheat? It becomes wet. So should it become chametz then? Well, no, as long as it's still growing, you're okay, right? It's still that doesn't count. So the Gemara though says that if it's cut, right, if you're gonna cut it soon, it's as if it's considered cut already. That seems to be the Gemara. And that has ramifications for a whole bunch of halachos, right? From here, from matzah to hilchos chatzitza by mikvaos. Right, that's why the cutting of the fingernails and things like that's part of the chumrah of cutting fingernails, right? So they point out that so in Eretz Yisrael it's not really an issue because the wheat grows over the summer. You harvest it before springtime, right? And doesn't rain over the summer. So who cares? Like, okay, fine. So you cut the wheat and it never had was rained on, etc. However, it's pointed out in America and in Europe it rains all year round. So what point is the wheat eligible to be cut such that if it rains on it, it's going to cause it to become chametz? Right? So the Rashba dealt with this. The Rashba here, that's the question. The tshuva is, tshuva ahishni spashal legamri b'mechubar ve'ina tzricha klal liyanika v'chol shenis yavish legamri b'mechubar k'mad demancha b'kada demaya v'mekabel eschima tzim yardu ala g'shamim. The Rashba says, yeah, that should be the case. That if it's ready to be cut, it's ready to be cut. And if water falls on it, it's going to become chametz. So how do you deal with that? So the and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin's like that. So some point out that, well, you know, it's really hard, there's a shell, and it doesn't really become like their answers that are given to it. Really, the answer is bittel. Really, the answer is that, yes, the chametz, the matzahs that you eat that have all the hashkachas and have all the Yiddish writing on the box, right, there probably is chametz that is bittel inside of it. That was nullified by the rest of it. And I, on Pesach, we assume that you can't nullify chametz. Before Pesach, you can nullify chametz. So that's probably how it works. So the story goes.
It means you shouldn't buy matzah on Pesach.
No, because it already was owned by a Jew. You could buy matzah.
Shouldn't bake it on Pesach.
Right, you shouldn't bake it on Pesach. Right. You shouldn't bake it on Pesach. So the story.
So much for the Hasidim.
Yeah.
Right.
Go bake it on the first point. Night of the Seder.
Yeah, I never thought about that. That's a good point. They must get their wheat from Arizona. So I found out about this. My father was one time visiting us in Arizona in the middle of January or something. And he was walking through the airport, and he sees like 15 Hasidim in the middle of the Phoenix airport. My father's like, he thought it was a mirage, you know, in the middle of the desert. Like, what's going on here? And like, one of them like starts motioning him to join him for mincha. But like, what's going on here? So they tell him, oh, we're going to Yuma to do our Rishon Lektzira, right? There's some kind of, the Hasidim have a practice that when you have a wheat field, so the first cut is like this big ceremony for the matzahs. They're all flying out to take care of this. So Yuma, Arizona, is almost on the border of California. It's about a 5-hour drive from Phoenix. There are, I think, two gas stations from the time you leave Phoenix until you get to Yuma. Yuma itself is very interesting. We actually slept in Yuma one night on our way to San Diego. There's like an old prison there. It's a lot of fun to go to Yuma. But it's very hot in Yuma. There's one of these old prisons that you could go and visit, which is cool. There's old Yuma, whatever. So they have a farm outside of Yuma. So we found that the story was that the Satmar Rav, Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, when he was, he used to travel to Tucson, because he had asthma. So that's how. When I first was moving to Arizona, so I met Mayor Tursky. I once drove him back to Riverdale, and I told him I got a job in Phoenix. I'm moving out to Phoenix. He's like, "Who lives in Phoenix?" I said, "Ah, these people for this reason, that reason." I heard there are a lot of people with asthma. I said, "Yeah, there are a lot of people with asthma too, right?" And so Sapporo would go out to there, and he realized that, wait a second, this is wonderful because it doesn't rain here ever. And there's no dew either, right? It's because it's so dry, it's below the dew point. That's why when you take the soda out of the fridge, right, it doesn't have all the water, all the liquid condensation on the outside. The soda bottles remain dry. It's like wonderful. So one of the good things about living there. aren't that many, but
there's no bacteria in the North Pole, you know?
Right.
Everything lasts.
So and it's a dry heat. So So the Saparov said, let's try this. Let's make matzahs here. Let's get wheat here. So the first year they tried it, and it tasted like cardboard. So apparently they used like pasta wheat, which apparently doesn't work so well for matzahs. So a couple years later, a different rub went back. Someone else went back there and worked with the university people, whatever, and they came up with the right wheat that would grow the right amount of matzah. And by that point, the Saparov Chassidim had already split. So I'm not sure which one is which. But one of them said, this is wonderful, we have the best matzahs in the world. And the other group said, you're a bunch of apikorsim and kfirim and no good and nix, and you're all eating chametz and it's all terrible. So I have here the letter saying it was bad. The bad letter. There's a whole bunch of literature that came out about it. The Rosh Kol in Phoenix, actually, Rabbi Hallam told me, when I asked him about this, he said, oh yeah, every year they call me in August time to walk outside at 3 in the morning and to testify to the fact that there's no dew. So they call me at 3 in the morning, I go out to my car, I touch my windshield, notice that my finger is still dry, and tell them, nope, no dew, and that's good. So he gave me... So hold on a sec. So wait a minute. So he
otherwise
has a grow. So they point out even a bigger problem with this. The Kuntres, the 36 page Kuntres that they put out in favor of this, points out that this is even a bigger problem in America today. I mean, in Europe, there are tshuvas talking about this problem in Europe. And they say, yeah, whatever, some grow on it, we cut it quickly, it's okay. It's only full for a few days. But they point out that in America, in order for the combine to work, right, it has to be very dry. They actually leave it longer in the ground than they did in Europe, because for the combine to take it out, right, it has to actually be drier than otherwise it would need to be. So it's even a bigger problem. So the based in asering it, that's what this letter is. Achar masu matan shel alachub iyan rab chol tzadi hashaelos hinenu bazel lachavos datenu das torah seinu akdosha shebehachitim halalu yesh behem nidnud chametz, that this chitim actually are chametz ve'ein liyishdamishom mikametamim v'nimukim, and you certainly shouldn't use them, because these are the ones saying it's no good.
It can't be worse than regular
wheat. Whoa, hold on. Masha Omrim She'en Yordim Shem Sham Tal. The idea that they say that there is no tal that falls there. Hu Negad HaGemar Mefureshes She'tal Lo Miyatzer. It's against the Beferish Gemara that tal doesn't stop. Right, that's why we don't say Marid HaTal. Because you don't really need to daven for tal, because tal automatically falls. That's what the Gemara says. Automatically falls in the places that it falls, right? But okay, days. Yodea before some shemakom niskulel he medabe who midbar shemama the eretz lo zeruah. Everybody knows that Yuma, Arizona, is the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a desert, in a land that can't be planted. Umashi gedolim sham who bekoach ba'am. Chemically, and the fact that it grows there must be chemicals. And it's not normal. As the people that know. It's not really wheat. Come on, how could wheat grow in the middle of a desert? Everybody knows wheat doesn't grow in the middle of a desert. Three. Everybody knows what the Chassam Sofer said. A whole bunch of letters that I don't know what it stands for. Baal v'yoel Moshe, meaning the Saparov said that also. Umina lo no nizra. And we certainly won't change from that claim of chadash asa min haTorah, that new things are asa min haTorah. So I said, you need to go, like, so why is planting wheat in Long Island any better, right? That means you have to plant it in Pressburg? Like, what does that mean? that chadash asa min haTorah.
So it just means something novel. It doesn't mean like chadash.
Right. Okay. No, that's the play on words, meaning chadash asa min haTorah is obvious, right? There's an Isser chadash in the Torah, that we know. But the Chassam Sofer said, that's like as a play on words, chadash asa min haTorah. New things are
awesome. How you apply that.
Right. Nachar chakir medrisha mechachme umas haolam biyaradu shebechita niska elanim sanu gluten piasara meyatim shegedelim b'makom echad. That it seems like there's an overabundance of gluten in these matzahs. So I'm not sure what the problem is with that, but it's too much gluten. But od tam v'nimukim rab macher imanu, and there are plenty of other reasons why we shouldn't use these matzahs. As anyways, you can go check if one wants to be machmer on Arizona matzahs, you could get it. If you want to protest against Arizona matzahs, you have certainly those who will join you in protest. But that is a I would point out that the Arizona matzahs, I never saw them for sale anywhere in Arizona. They were not being sold there. But that is harsh. That is one more chumrah when it comes to matzahs.
Ever see them for sale anywhere?
I haven't been in Brooklyn before Pesach in a long time. Maybe. But if you go to such places or Brooklyn, I forget which one is which. If you go either to Brooklyn or to Muncie, whichever one those sacraments are living in, I don't know which one protested. But you can. I'm sure that's where you would find it. It's probably not that big of a. I said my father saw them. And my father told me that he found them.
You ever eat them?
If you turn the tape.